You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big broadcast here on Wednesday, the 3rd of September, 2025. It's a great day to be Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
That's right. Glad to have you along here. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. You can hear him every morning from 6 until 9. And also to Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. And yes, yes, for this week, we'll remind you, a owner of the Green Bay Packers as well, like so many folks are, at least on paper. Glad to have them both along for a Wednesday. And yeah, didn't do quite as much politics as we do with Trigvi, but still was it was a lot of fun. And sometimes, as he said, you got to just take time to pause, reflect, and enjoy other parts of life.
Yeah, if you don't, you'll go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up, we'll take a couple of looks, some news out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here. Following up on what we were talking about last hour, Republican governor candidates Bill Berrien and Josh Shulman are now signaling their support for troops in Milwaukee. We'll talk a little bit about that. Give you my opinion why I think that's a bad idea, by the way. And we'll also have a little fun this hour as well. I'm looking forward to what's worse, talking about the Brewers maybe a little bit. They are back in action. We talked Packers last hour. Brewers back in action tonight as the Philadelphia Phillies and Brewers resume their action at 6:05 on all of our stations, the Brewers Radio Network, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN, I think, in Kenosha and Racine, and WCQM in Park Falls, and our newest affiliate, WBZH, in beautiful Hayward, Wisconsin. So Brewers dropped the first game in that series. Kind of a weird thing. They had 19 days straight that they played until they finally had a day off, and they had that really important day off for them. And so the Philadelphia Phillies and the Brewers getting underway tonight at 6:05. So we've got, I think we have a little cut here from Mizorowski, Jacob Mizorowski, who pitched pretty well but got the loss on Monday for the Brewers. He spoke afterwards to the gaggle of reporters, including our own Mike Clemens, talking about getting a little bit of time off after that long stretch. Here's Miz.
Everyone needs it. I think it's just, you know, it was a grind going through these, 19 games, right? Something like that. So it's, you know, it's just, it's a long stretch and, you know, everyone's going to enjoy the off day.
Jacob Mizorowski on looking forward to that off day yesterday for the Brew Crew. Got a little drama on Monday as well. As Pat Murphy, for only the second time this season, Murphy, of course, the manager for the Milwaukee Brewers, National League Manager of the Year last year and only in his premier season after Craig Counsell bolted for the evil and dreaded Cubs, by the way. Murph got tossed on Monday. And what happened was it was the second time in the game where something called a check swing. So the pitcher pitches and the batter starts to swing and if the rule is, well, Murphy will explain it, but if the bat, basically the barrel of the bat crosses the leg, then that, whether their wrist breaks or not, doesn't matter. That's counted as a swing. And it happened once to a right-handed batter. And so they went up to a left-handed batter and they went to the first base umpire and the third base umpire is a no swing. And it happened again. And the first base umpire said no swing, and Murph could see that one, and he got a little mouthy, and he was gone. So here's Murphy talking about getting tossed on Monday.
You know, umpires have a hard job. They have a hard job. What I don't like is when they're definitive that they got it right, and then I see what I see after the game, and you can see the barrel's out in front of his front leg. Tell me how the barrel can be in front of his front leg at any moment and it not be a swing. So I'm not again, that's a tough call from the angle he's at. He does the best he can, and that's all I can say.
Pat Murphy, manager for the Brewers, obviously had calmed down, but I think the point he was making was, I went back and looked at the replay like everybody saw on TV, and clearly the barrel of the bat went in front of the leg. It was clearly should have been a strike. You were there, Zobbers.
Yeah, everyone was very upset. It was really loud booing for the umpires. They do have a hard job. I wouldn't want to be them. My roommate, Elliot, also there with me, he is huge into baseball. He's been to like 70 MLB games and keeps score at each one. He said that the rule is not about it going past the leg. It's about going past a line. I don't remember what he called it, but there's a line on the ground. And I said, why don't they just have an aerial camera that they can check it? And he's like, well, sometimes there's dirt over the line and then you won't be able to see it. I'm like, well, I still think they should have a camera.
Yeah, it was pretty controversial, but the replay clearly showed that it should have been a strike. But yeah, I mean, umpires have
if that's the rule. If the rule is can't go past the leg, should have been a strike.
Well,
if
I trust the rule Pat is, Murphy to know what the rule is.
I do too, but I am saying Elliot also knows a lot about baseball. I don't know.
I'm sure he does, but if I had to choose, with all respect to Elliot, I'd go with Pat Murphy's call on that. But yeah, I mean, sure, yeah, that's a good point. And regardless, Murphy was tossed. Ricky Weeks got to manage for, what, two innings, something like that?
An inning and a half.
An inning and a half-ish. But the Brewers, like they have not before the season, were not able to pull it out. And by the way, the Cubs lost that day. But they did win yesterday, so the lead is now down to 5 games for the crew over the Cubs in the National League Central Division. They get back underway later on tonight, pregame show, as we said, at 6:05, Philadelphia against the Brewers on many of these great stations. It's coming up on 13 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, just your chance to have your voice heard on several of these Civic Media stations, 10 and counting right now. All right, this is timely, timely indeed, as we say, as Mike Lucas says, because weather is changing. You can feel it today outside, had to wear a jacket walking around, and you can also see it in the forecast, highs only in the 50s and 60s next couple of days. So we ask you today, category, what's worse, early winter or early fall? Early winter or early fall? And Jim from Brookville has already weighed in on what I said before. I gave the tease, as they say, and I teased ahead to tomorrow. So you already know what tomorrow's what. Tomorrow is gas. Not that I'm going to have gas tomorrow, but
I hope not.
We'll see. Well, at least we don't have to share our studios hours.
So that's true.
But no, today is early winter or early fall. Early winter or early fall. What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Give us a call on the old Civic Media hotline or text us on the Civic Media app. You can do it by downloading the app on your Apple or Android device. Simply go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up with a cute little CM logo. Takes less than a minute. It is free, the Civic Media app. What's worse, early winter or early fall? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Our own Casper, one of our great engineers, texting in saying early winter is much, much worse. Why do we live where the air hurts our faces? Good question. Dana calling in or texting in, I should say, up at beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin. By the way, we haven't gotten to Joe Gow yet. See, La Crosse, we'll get to that in a minute. Dana in La Crosse says anything winter, especially early, is by default worse. I'll take an early fall. Cam in Appleton, early winter is frustrating in a rear wheel, but other people's yards make excellent donut practice.
Okay. I imagine he's just talking about difficult to drive, but, you know.
Don't do donuts on the people's yards.
No, don't do that.
Judy In Lodi, listing in on WMDX, is definitely early winter is worse because it's cold and probably snowing. I don't like the cold and snow. All right, Judy, thank you very much. Barb in beautiful Waukesha on WAUK says, I love this cool weather, so I'm saying early winter is worse. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, early winter or early fall? PJ on YouTube says early winter is worse, saying I dislike snow. This is very fascinating for me. I didn't know it would be quite this lopsided so far.
You didn't?
No.
Because everyone else did that we talked to.
Luke, well,
we talked to Luke beforehand. He was like, everyone's going to say early winter's worse. And I was like, yeah, everyone's probably going to say early winter's worse. Do you have an argument otherwise?
Well, just wait. Just wait. Getting very salty today, Somers.
I didn't mean to be salty.
Tammy, listening in Virginia. Thank you, Tammy, for tuning us in beautiful Virginia. By the way, it's for lovers, Virginia. Early winter, she says, is worse, unequivocally. Jim in Brookfield says early. Here we go. Early,
all right, here we go.
Early fall is worse, says Jim, because it marks the end of summer and outdoor activities. There really isn't too much of a change in activities between fall and early winter. Now, see, that's a good argument.
Yeah, but also you can still do summer stuff if it's a little colder most of the time.
Are you going to go to the water parks?
Probably not.
Are you going to go swimming in a lake if it's like 60 and windy?
I mean, probably not.
Carolyn in Heartland answering our question, what's worse, early fall or early winter? Carolyn in Heartland says early winter in capital letters, absolutely worse, with 3 exclamation points. Scott on WMDX in Madison says early fall is worse because retailers have been marketing fall items in August. It's getting absolutely ridiculous out there.
Yeah, next thing we know, Black Friday sales will start in March.
That's very true. I think that's a great point, by the way, because, yeah, it seems like the 4th of July now is over, and suddenly now you see everything fall. In like Walgreens especially, it seems to be, they're always putting stuff out early. Scott in Madison on MDX says early.
That's the one we just read.
Oh, sorry about that. Thank you. I'm sorry. Kurt in beautiful Monroe. Texting in on WMDX says early fall is worse. This can interfere with kayaking. He is 100% right.
Okay, so it's stuff on the water. I guess for me personally, I will say that I prefer to be outside in fall weather more so than summer weather. I understand
because,
that
yes.
I'm weird because I overheat easily. Unusual, atypical, maybe.
Well, you just have a certain heating system internally.
Run too hot.
You run too hot. What's worse, early winter or early fall? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Give us a call. I will tell you my take on this because I wrote today's what's worse. I don't usually write a bunch of them, but today... This was mine. And like Zomer said, I got some heat about this in the meetings today.
But I'm glad that people shared their opinions that differed because then I get to learn and be less salty.
All right. I'll tell you what's worse. The correct answer. Early summer or early fall on the other side. And some special music for us today on the show. So don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allmall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Allmall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 23 now, past the hour of 3 o'clock. I love this song. A little California dream. By the way, for our friends and listeners out in Los Angeles, California, if you want to watch the Packers this weekend, the trick we were saying earlier that hard to get them out in D.C. If you want to watch the Packers in the greater Los Angeles area, no better place to do it than the official Packers bar down in beautiful Hermosa Beach, the underground sports pub.
Todd's been there. It's pretty
I've been there. It's fantastic. We've broadcast from just outside of it. So, yeah, Underground Sports Pub in Hermosa Beach in beautiful Los Angeles area. Official Packers Sports Bar. You can watch the games. Have a great... I highly recommend the steak sandwich. The French dip, a steak sandwich. Really, really good. Anyway, we're right in the middle of what's worse for today. About to wrap it up here. What's worse, early winter or early fall? Appreciate all the responses. And yes, I get it. It's overwhelmingly one way. Let's read a couple more of these before we get out of here. I have a listener here in WCFW, the TAP. Brand new listener. We appreciate them calling in. Says, any sentence that has the word winter in it is worse. Okay, very good. Len in Madison, early winter is worse. I want that early frost to shut down the mosquitoes. Well, that's some parts of the state, they've been pretty bad, particularly late in the summer. So that's a great point. Luann in beautiful Wanderoos. Wanderoos? Is that a town?
I don't know.
I love that. Luann in Wanderoos. Let's look that up. Wanderoos, Wisconsin? Says, like the end of, I like the end of hot and muggy. Hate winter.
All right. Wanderoos is an unincorporated community located in the town of Garfield.
Love it. Nicely done. I want to do a show from Wanderoos. Henry in Madison on WMDX says early winter usually means a brutal December and January. And Jim of Brookfield says, yes, Zommers, it's water related. Once early fall arrives, outdoor swimming is over. For those who love summer swimming, it's depressing. Thank you, Jim in Brookfield. Len in Madison says early winter is worse. I want, there's a repeat of the other one. I want the mosquitoes to go away. Like so long, I'm not sure. Can you say Indian summer anymore? I guess, I don't know.
I don't know if there's a replacement phrase yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure. What else do you call it, right? Because that's when it gets real, when you have an early year fall stretch like we're having now, then it might heat back up to like the 80s. For 3 or 4 or 5 days in late September, early October, and then the real fall starts. So, for me, early fall is, and I love fall. It's my favorite season of the year. But to my friend Kurt's point, it may mean that we don't get out kayaking as much. Or to Jim's point, you know, I like being around water. I like being on the water. So, yeah, early fall means the end of those types of activities sooner. For me, once I'm into fall, then, you know, because when I was growing up as a kid, it was not necessarily unusual to get not like a couple of inches, but like tracking snow the last week in October, first week in November. That was not unusual. I know now with global warming and stuff, it is. So I guess once I'm into kind of the middle of September and the September fall, I mean, hey, if it gets cold a little earlier, not a big deal. But I don't like this abrupt end to summer.
I honestly am kind of discombobulated about seasons. I'm going to be real. With climate change and everything, when I was little, I could feel a definitive, like, okay, winter is going to happen around this time. We're going to get about this much snow. Now I'm like, I don't know. This week it's 80. In 3 days, it's 40 degrees. We have no snow all December. It's summer again in January. Like, it just... I'm exaggerating a little bit, but the seasons are all over the place now.
They are. Well, there we go. That's what's worse for today. Join us tomorrow, our second hour, for, yes, a gasoline edition of What's Worse Tomorrow. So we'll look forward to that. Always fun to get in the lighter side of things. Want to mention this just because we talked about it there before the break earlier. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, Lawrence Andrea, great reporter there. Headline, Republican governor candidates Bill Berrien and Josh Shulman signal support for troops in Milwaukee. Both Republican candidates for Wisconsin governor this week said that they are open to bringing the National Guard into the state's largest city to help address crime. Whitefish Bay Manufacturing CEO Bill Berrien said he supported Milwaukee Police Association president their plans to ask the Trump administration to send National Guard troops to Milwaukee, calling the city, quote, one of the most crime-ridden cities in the country, unquote. And Washington County Executive Josh Shulman told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today that he would, quote, proactively work with the president to deploy sufficient law enforcement to keep our neighbors in Milwaukee safe, including the National Guard, unquote, if he's elected governor. The comments come as President Trump has deployed National Guard troops to Democratic cities over concerns about crime, or at least my editorializing here. At least that's what he says. Trump sent thousands of National Guard troops and hundreds of Marines to Los Angeles in June to quell protests and deployed troops across Washington, D.C. last month. Trump this week said he planned to send troops to Chicago, but yesterday said that he might send them to New Orleans instead. A federal judge ruled on September 2nd that the Trump administration broke the law when it deployed troops to Los Angeles, a ruling that could complicate future deployments. The Posse Comitatus Act, signed in 1878, generally prohibits using federal troops for domestic law enforcement. Posse Comitatus, of course, has a history here in Wisconsin, of all things. We're going to come back. Do a little farm news for you next, so don't go anywhere for that. And planning on a special musical guest, so stick around for that. A little bit of news as well. It's a Wednesday afternoon edition of the Todd Allball Show. Don't go anywhere on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along here as we get set for expecting one of our guests to come here. Skip Jones, great folk singer in Wisconsin, going to be in the building here very soon, and so we're working on that. Many thanks to Chris Casper, one of our great engineers here, for helping us set things up, and to Zomers as well. Before we bring Skip on, wanted to kind of set this up because I think it goes hand in hand, and we talked about this yesterday, the passing of one of the great actors of our time, in my opinion, which really made his mark with an Academy Award, or pardon me, Academy Award nomination turned in the great film Dances with Wolves. And that is actor Graham Greene, who passed away, I believe, was 72 this week. We read the story from National Public Radio yesterday. But now today, and don't usually read a lot of stuff from the New York Post or quote from it, but I thought they did a good job on this. And Kevin Costner is speaking out today about his co-star, Graham Greene, about the death, with an emotional tribute on Instagram yesterday. From the Post, says Kevin Costner is mourning his Dances with Wolves co-star, Graham Greene. Costner, who is 70 years old, posted an emotional Instagram tribute yesterday to Greene, who died Monday at the age of 73. There it is, not 72, 73, with a clip of their characters interacting in a scene for the 1990 Western film. And Costner says, a few things come to mind when I think of Graham Greene and our time together on Dances with Wolves, Costner began in his caption. Costner went on to say, I think of how willing he was to learn the Lakota language. And the Yellowstone star said, I think of my joy when I first heard that his work on the film was recognized with an Academy Award nomination. And I think about this scene in particular, when he was able to establish so much about the relationship between Dunbar and the natives, who, with so few words, step away from the story for a second. So Costner's character was Lieutenant Dunbar, a Union Civil War soldier who was sent out to, you know, the Western frontier at the time, and ended up being basically left for dead, and then was kind of adopted by the Native American tribes there. And this time on the screen, and one of the things that makes it so magical is to Costner's point. A, Costner, who was the producer, director, star of the film, was largely his own project with a lot of his own money, insisted that the Native Americans in the film speak Lakota, the native language of the Native Americans in the film. He wanted it to be authentic instead of having, you know, the natives speak in English, which, of course, would not have been true to form. He said, no, I want them to speak in Lakota. And they put English subtitles on the film in the theaters. And that made it really authentic. And then number two, and there's so many, in my opinion, a great film. And now we're getting to Pete Schwabe and Nightlight territory. By the way, you can hear that every evening from 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network. But really great films to me communicate so much with things other than English language. It might be the eyes. It might be the camera angles and just letting a scene play out naturally, whether it's a weather occurrence or whether it's the look and the reaction and or the actions of the actors between each other. Because you think in real life, right? Like when you're having a really good talk with a friend or a family member, you don't say everything just one stop, the other starts talking, the other stop, the other starts. In a real life, you're sitting there together and you're talking to each other and sometimes be long pauses that go on between your talks. And so in Dances with Wolves, there were so many great scenes where the characters, because in the film, of course, they didn't speak the same language, but and for them to play that out with their actions was just really, really, really powerful. Koster goes on and he called Green, quote, a master at work and a wonderful human being, unquote. He says, I'm grateful to have witnesses of this part of his lasting legacy. Rest in peace, Graham. Dances with Wolves, which marked Costner's feature directorial debut, follows the Civil War soldier who creates a bond with a band of Lakota Indians, including Kicking Bird, played by Graham Greene, of course. The film was nominated for 12 Oscars, including Best Supporting Actor for Green. It won Best Picture and Best Director. Green passed away in a Toronto hospital with his wife, Hilary Blackmore, by his side, according to a rep last week. The rep said Green had lost his battle with, quote, a lengthy illness, unquote, but did not elaborate on the exact cause of death. Green made his on-screen debut in 1979, starring in the Canadian drama series The Great Detective. The first feature film was in 1983's Running Brave, with his big break coming years later with Dances with Wolves. The Canadian actor also starred in Thunderheart, Maverick, Transamerica, Winter's Tale, Wind River, and many, many more. It's also on The Last of Us as well. So long, long career. Graham Greene had said, quote, I started out as a carpenter, a welder, a draftsman, a carpet layer, a roadie, and an auto tech, he told Reader's Digest at the time. He said, I stumbled into acting and I thought, these people keep me in shade, give me food and water, and take me over to where I stay. I'm supposed to say what the when they take me back. Wow, this is the life of a dog. He said, no. He said it was great. So Graham Greene passing away, one of our great Native American actors of the time, and certainly thinking of his family today and the passing of him. I know our friend Robert Pilot on Native Roots Radio, which could also be heard every evening here from 8 until 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, also does a great job about talking about the importance of recognizing Native cultures and hearing these voices that go unheard and also just overlooked. Right, a lot of time as well. So, Graham Greene, one of our really, really great actors. We're getting set to talk here in just a few minutes with our actor, one of these things in life, right? Where you are, I was up in Shaughnessy with my parents, and we went to the farmer's market there, and my dad, who is dealing with some early dementia right now, and we found him sitting there listening to this guy singing, and we thought, well, this is great, this is a lot of fun, and my stepmom and I sat down and started listening to him as well. He had his hat on and sunglasses, because it was a bright summery day and that sort of thing, and we listened to and then my stepmom goes, wait a minute, he goes, that's Skip Jones. I've heard about Wisconsin Public Radio and stuff, and so it was just really, really great. And we had a great conversation, and so he was so kind enough while he's in town here to stop by for a few minutes and have a conversation and have a song. Skip is a career U.S. Navy veteran and has had a special connection with veterans and their unique issues. He's combines his diverse song repertoire with engaging stories from a lifetime of performing, teaching, and world travel. His sources of inspiration and material have come from late folk legend Utah Phillips, his primary mentor, advocates for social justice and environmental activists, with 23 grandchildren. How about that? 7 great-grandkids. He is a natural with audiences of all ages, accompanied by guitar, banjo, Native American flute. He has been entertained and educated at thousands of libraries, schools, festivals, nursing homes, and community events across the country. He is experienced in performing for people with special needs. His warmth and affection for all audiences is evident in his voice and interaction with listeners. And you can find all of his work at skipjones.net. That's skipjones.net. And Skip is getting set up. Again, a huge shout out, by the way, to our engineering team here, Chris Casper, and also Aaron Zommers for helping to make this happen and getting all set up today. So I think we're ready to go. And Skip, if we can get that, there he goes. Zommers going to get your voice mic to you. Skip, welcome to the program. Thank you so very much for being here.
Well, what? It's a pleasure to be on radio. They can't see what I'm wearing.
Well, we can. We'll turn the camera there for those watching on the stream, and now they can see you there.
Oh, there we go. I can see you too.
Yeah. How about that? How was the trip down from the greater Shuttle area?
It was absolutely beautiful day today. It's been this way for almost a week.
Yeah. Right.
You know, after that heat and.
Right, yeah, it's nice to have the cool down here, and nice to have you, reading your, we read that story, we followed it yesterday, Graham Greene, the great American actor there, great Native American actor, and the film came out in 1990 when I was in college, and I said on the show yesterday, as someone who grew up as a kid, a white kid in Southwest Wisconsin, and didn't have a lot of interaction with Native American folks, that movie to me was the impetus, and having a great college professor who talked about it was a great impetus for me to learn more about Native American culture. But now you're someone who talks about this an awful lot.
Yes, I knew Graham.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of effort to give Native people the power that was already theirs. Mm-hmm. And the movie helped that. It was part of a series of movies they were doing to get people ready for that one.
Wow.
And also Floyd Westerman used to come to LCO when we had our Protect the Earth gatherings. And so I got to spend some time with him. And Graham was there, and just so many of the Native elders that I've had the privilege to spend some time with.
Right. And you're Native yourself, or
no.
Are you? Are
no,
you...
I'm Scottish, Welsh, and Dutch.
Scottish, Welsh, and Dutch. So how did you come to this appreciation and advocacy and understanding of Native American indigenous community?
Oh, and I was born in L.A. My dad went off to war, came back. We went back out to L.A. and to San Luis Obispo, which is where he got his engineering degree. Went back to New York and invented the first hard drive for IBM.
Wow,
it was That's you know incredible. Way big and
right
stored a kilobyte.
Yeah,
but on TV there was a program, and that was new to me because we hadn't seen TV until I was back at my grandmother's, and I was about 7. And they had an old movie on called Broken Arrow. And the white guy representing the government and Cochise, Broken Arrow, and then Work for Peace. I recently saw that movie on a retro station. It's the worst thing I've ever listened to because all the Indians were white guys, you know.
And, right, all actors, yeah.
Yeah, all
right,
actors. Right, yeah. But it turned me on to wanting to know. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I was in the Navy for a bunch of years, got a real expansive exposure to diversity. Mm. And came back. My wife said, we got to leave here. And I got a place in Wisconsin you'll die for.
Right.
And it's right in the heart of between the Menominee and the Stockbridge.
Okay.
And the Stockbridge are Mohicans from where I grew up along the Hudson River.
Yeah.
So we moved out there, and it has been a absolutely amazing teaching to look at the way these people handle life in general.
You want to play us a little song? Get ready to go out here on got to do a little business, as they say, in the business.
40 seconds.
In the business. Got to do the business.
So play us a little on the way out here, just a little instrumental, and we'll all be back with more here with Skip Jones from the Civic Media Radio Network. Talk about the music business to hear a complete song. But here's a little instrumental by Skip on the way out on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny. But we'll cut the load, carrying the load, side by side. Don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Where the rivers change direction out across a great divide. And I've been sifting through the layers of dusty books and faded paper.
Welcome back to the Tom Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock, the top of the hour, ABC and CBS News. Depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, a check of weather and sports with the great Mike Clemens, and then another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I hate to interrupt him because it sounds so good, but it's great having live music. Now, I grew up in Richland Center. My first station was WRCO, and it was one of those old studios that was built specifically for a radio station in 1949, and it had a room for live music. And wow. So that's the only way you could do it. You didn't have, you know, reel to reels even or anything back then. And so we are joined by Skip Jones here, folk singer and activist. You can find all of his work at skipjones.net, skipjones.net. I know Zomers will put that up on the board. It's great to have him with us. I'm sorry we had a little bit of a confusion getting you here, but we're going to have you back, Skip, where we can have a complete segment, half hour. I want you to do give you time to do a full song, but give us about a minute and a half or so on something either about you or a cause that is on your mind today, Skip.
Well, a cause that's on my mind, I'm a 14-year veteran. And first and foremost, working with vets is important to me. But generally speaking, we need to pull it all together. Mm-hmm. We've gone far away from what I knew as a kid growing up in New York City. You said hello to everybody on the avenue, whether you knew them or not. It was just a recognition of, hey, I see you as a human being.
Yeah.
Things are cool, you know. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, that's not so true anymore, and it bothers me. I have 29 grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I have 12 great-grandchildren, and I am a little concerned with what's going to happen. The natives have a thing called seventh generation. And that's a belief that we need to look into the next seventh generation whenever we make a decision that affects the air, water, or land. Mm-hmm. Because it's not ours, it's theirs. So, anyway.
What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do a song I haven't finished learning yet.
I like that.
But it was written by, you familiar with the song Inch by Inch, Row by Row, the Garden Song? The guy that wrote that, Dave Mallett, was a friend of mine in Maine. He passed in November. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this one. I'm learning it because I think it needs to be out there. So here's the first verse and chorus.
All right. Here's Skip Jones, everybody.
If the morning sky still disappears behind a sky of blue, if people rise and go to work like they always do, as long as young folks fall in love, kids keep growing tall, the earth below and the sky above, there's room for one and all. There's room for you and me, my friend, with our backs against the wall. If there's water flowing from the stream, there's a place for you and I. Hope for you and I. Anyway.
I like that. Skip Jones.
I'll have it all learned by the time I come
good.
Down.
No, that's good, man. I like that.
That was another David Mallett So
yeah, really, really good stuff. And I know you appeared on Wisconsin Public Radio, a number of other places as well. You said we got to talk about Richland Center, and you said you were on the morning show with my old boss and the owner of WRCL, Ron Fruit, years ago.
That's right. That's right. And that's why my favorite question to anybody when I meet him is, "Where are you from?"
Right.
That opens up doors that you couldn't do any other way.
No, it's so true. What gave you your passion about specifically many of the songs you do talking about the Native American culture? What was the impetus for that?
Just trying to help people open their eyes and open their heart and go experience the wonder that we live in. I remember growing up and kids saying, "I'm colorblind." And I said, "How sad that is that you're colorblind. The world is in technicolor." Right. You know, and having spent all the time I did, I've seen the worst of poverty. I've seen the worst of people. I've seen the best. Mm-hmm. What's happened down here with that area not far from here that they converted since I was here last time, and it's all beautiful now, and they have rooms for people, and they have entertainment or interaction things. I'm off to tomorrow, and I'm going to go sit over there and see if I can meet somebody and find out where they're from.
I like that. And that's what struck me when I met you, just how open you are, and your songs have such deep meaning, and you tell great stories through song. And I think that's something that's lacking in today's culture, in this country, in this world. And I appreciate you keeping that alive, and I appreciate you coming on today.
Well, it's my pleasure always. I love radio, and I just hope they don't get rid of the AM band and talk about putting cars, you know, because I like AM radio.
We like AM radio, too.
You want to talk to the farmers,
yeah,
you catch them after milking on AM radio.
Yeah, absolutely. I can find all Skip's work again at Skip Jones, SKIPJones.net. N-E-T, skipjones.net. He has some CDs you can order. You were gracious enough to give me some of those. I've listened to a couple of them. Really, really good stuff here. Got about a little over a minute and a half, Skip. Do you want to play us something on the way out here? We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
How could anyone ever tell you that you're anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you that you're less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle and how deeply you're connected to my soul? How could anyone ever tell you you're anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you that you're less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle and how deeply you're connected to my soul? Now, I'm sure you've got those lyrics. Let's sing it together.
See you tomorrow, everybody. Keep banging your drum. Banging your drums next.
Ever tell you that you're anything less than beautiful?
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.